Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. What we're doing today is we're providing some perspective on news stories that are flooding the media. The first one we have dealt with in part one, which is the story that pasta is weight loss food, that it's good to eat pasta if you want to lose weight. And I think we did a pretty good analysis there. So let's move on to the next story, which is flooding the media. And I'll give you an example of some of the headlines. Three-decade study confirms saturated fats are bad for health. That's in Yahoo Finance. And this one is trans and saturated fat consumption associated with increased heart risk. In two large prospective cohort studies, dietary saturated and trans fats were linked to increased rates of mortality. Avoiding saturated fats will actually make you live longer, says new study. Target saturated fats when you're cutting fat. And polyunsaturated fat better than monounsaturated fat in diet. Omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids linked to lower mortality. Well, we agree with that. We already know that fish oil fats, but they're talking about vegetable oil fats as well, omega-6 fats. So what they're basically saying is that studies have come out which suggest that the American Heart Association was right all along. You know, we criticize the American Heart Association because they continue to post outmoded advice saying, diet advice saying, get rid of butter, replace it with vegetable oil. Vegetable oil is rich in omega-6 fatty acids, which are pro-inflammatory. They're very artificial from the standpoint of their inclusion in the diet because humans really got most of their fat from saturated fat in meats, but also polyunsaturated fats that were found in wild game and in fish. And you could eat nuts and get some omega-6 fats, but it's hard to get, you know, it's kind of like the difference between eating fruit and having juice. Juice is a concentrate from fruit that concentrates the sugar. Vegetable oil is a concentrate of nuts, which concentrates the omega-6 oil. So a lot of people point to the omega-3 to 6 ratio that is being distorted in the modern diet. That we used to have much more omega-3, and now we have so much more omega-6 due to vegetable oil consumption. And, oh, by the way, saturated fats are neither omega-3 or omega-6, but they're saturated and stable. They're not polyunsaturated. And that many studies suggest that they're okay and that they don't really contribute to cardiovascular risk. For example, before the study coming out saying that saturated fats were bad for you, that was last month. You see how things flip, and that's the ridiculousness of these news reports, is that last month you were seeing headlines like this. Butter not significantly linked to ill health, says a study. Eating butter has only a small negative effect on total mortality. They found a slight negative effect on total mortality, but it does not worsen cardiovascular health, and it may help to protect against diabetes. So it's kind of a wash. Total death rate slightly higher, and that may be, you know, statistical aberration, because these days there is a little bit of a trend where, you know, this phenomenon talked about in part one is that people, you know, think of the people who eat a lot of butter in your life. And you may eat a lot of butter because you listen to Intelligent Medicine and we tell you that, you know, butter is okay to eat. But at the same time, you're eating very carefully. So you might have butter and you might have grass-fed beef, but you're cutting your carbs, you're exercising, you're eating really healthy, you're not eating chemicalized food, you're trying to eat organic, lots of fruits and vegetables as part of a healthy lifestyle. But the vast majority of people, if you do a survey, like who eats a lot of butter, they're people who don't care. They just say, butter tastes delicious. You know, those, I hate those crazy health headlines, and I'll eat what I want. I'm a bon vivant. I'm a hedonist. And therefore you may get an effect, which is a lifestyle effect, which is that butter consumption is not, the effect of butter consumption is distorted by it being a marker for maybe less careful discriminating diet. Okay. But nonetheless, eating butter has only a small negative effect on total mortality, according to this big study. They say that consumption of butter in the U.S. is an all-time high in 2014. In spite of the fact that dietary guidelines recommend avoiding it. So the authors of the study felt that an investigation of the impact of butter consumption would be highly relevant and timely. And I guess they were willing to show that people were killing themselves by consuming butter, but they couldn't find that. Dairy products such as yogurt and certain cheeses have been found to have metabolic properties that, and these are high fat cheeses as well, not just low fat cheese. In fact, the higher the fat, better, because low fat dairy products are higher in carbohydrates and lower in fat. So they have a higher glycemic index. They might increase the risk of insulin resistance. So, and there are certain metabolic properties of these dairy products, such as, actually trans fats, but natural trans fats that are like, cis-linoleic acid that have been found to have metabolic properties and may help to prevent type 2 diabetes despite being dairy fats. This is the popular CLA, which is CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, which is actually a trans fat, but a beneficial fat metabolically. So not all trans fats are bad. The natural trans fats are maybe good. The trans fats that are artificial in margarine and shortening are obviously bad. And they, you know, one thing, and we talk about a nanny state, New York, and making a lot of regulations about diet. I think it's really good that they led the country in smoking cessation and in trying to ban trans fats. So in this study, researchers did a meta-analysis. They looked at 636,000 people in 9 research studies in order to calculate the relative risk of consuming butter. And what they found was that overall, each daily serving of butter was not significantly linked with the risk of cardiovascular disease, not with total risk of death, and an inverse risk of diabetes. So a very well-known professor, Dr. Darish Mozafarian, who's dean of the School of Nutrition and Science and Technology at Tufts. Tufts is a very, very highly recognized center for nutrition research. It's one of the top centers in the world. And he's dean of the School of Nutrition. Comments that butter should not be demonized, but neither should we see it as a route to good health. So he's being conservative. He's not saying it's a health food, but he's saying that he looked at the science. The evidence is not showing that it should be eliminated. So in a summary of the study, they say, this suggests that butter may be a middle-of-the-road food, a more healthful choice than sugar or starch, such as the white bread or potato on which butter is commonly spread, and which have been linked to higher risk of diabetes and cardiovascular disease. And, you know, perhaps, something that is neutral in its effect. And there's this headline, saturated fats can actually promote healing, says Canadian researcher. Canadian researcher says a faddish health belief that has managed to stick around should go the way of the Macarena or the Cabbage Patch doll. And that is the low saturated fat craze. So they say most of us grown up the idea that there are good unsaturated fats and bad saturated fats. But this new Canadian study suggests that things are not that black and white and may in fact be plainly incorrect. The study is entitled Dietary Lipid Type Rather Than Total Number of Calories Alters Outcome of Enteric Infection in Mice. Now, again, this isn't mice, but what happened was that when it comes to inflammatory diseases, fats that are saturated, such as butter, may have a salutary effect on inflammatory bowel disease. So this is one of the reasons why we encourage our patients with ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease not to consume lots of vegetable oil, but to consume saturated fat. And many of them need the meat because they're anemic and they malabsorb, and a low protein diet is not good for them, and they need to be fortified. So the New York Times takes a different tack with regard to the study in question. The study that generated all this furor about how bad saturated fats are was in Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine. They found that replacing 5% of daily calories from saturated fats, namely animal fat, with foods high in monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil and avocados, was associated with a 27% reduction in total mortality and reduced death from cardiovascular disease, cancer, and neurodegenerative disease. A similar switch from saturated fat to polyunsaturated fats, such as the omega-6 and omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids in fish and walnuts, was associated with a 13% reduction in total mortality and a 29% reduction in death from neurodegenerative diseases. Okay, so what we're saying here is that olive oil is good for you, and we know that, and avocados are good for you, and that polyunsaturated fats are good for you. But, you know, it doesn't say necessarily that you should take a one-for-one substitution of butter for vegetable oil. This is not what the study says. It says that a dietary switch from a high meat diet or butter diet to eating lots of nuts, avocados, fish, and walnuts is beneficial. And nobody is saying that you shouldn't have avocados, fish, and walnuts and olive oil. These are things which should be in your diet. But what the study did not do is it didn't prove that saturated fats are bad for you. It just suggested that the inclusion of more olive oil, avocados, fish, and walnuts, and perhaps some added vegetable oil, although it's not even clear from this study, that people poured, you know, vegetable oils into their gullet to achieve a higher level of omega-6 oils. That's not what the study suggests. It just suggests that going from a high meat diet to a diet where you have plenty of these other sources of foods helps a variety of diseases. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with including all those foods. I'm just saying that this study does not mean you got to stop eating saturated fats. I don't think you can say that. So what's interesting in the study and got downplayed, they also had an arm of the study where they showed that replacing saturated fats with carbohydrate, you know, so in other words, the low-fat diet foods. So that's what you get sometimes when you follow the, you know, the avoid saturated fat thing. No cholesterol, no saturated fat. And you get more sugar in your diet and refined grains. And they showed that that's not the way to get health benefits. Replacing saturated fats with fat-free foods that either have sugar in them or have refined grains in them did not confer any health benefits. That's no surprise at all. So really, the conclusion is not that saturated fats are bad, although that's what they've made of this study. The guy who is the senior author of the study, who's at Harvard. It's interesting. Tufts and Harvard seem to be feuding because Tufts says butter's okay, and Harvard says that butter's not okay. Dr. Frank Hu, a professor of nutrition at Harvard, says, quote, "We should eat more good fats from fish and avocados instead of animal fats." I don't think he's not there saying use a lot of vegetable oil from the bottle. And second, what's clear is that the low-fat, high-carbohydrate diet is not beneficial for improving health and longevity. So there, they're acknowledging that fat is beneficial, but they're still saying you've got to watch out for saturated fat, so have more polyunsaturated and monounsaturated fat in your diet. Translation is not pour canola oil all over things and fry in soy oil. That's not the answer. So here's an interesting study that kind of explains why you might see a benefit when people switch away from saturated fat, or when they don't even get people to switch. They compare groups. So you're looking at a group that's consuming less saturated fat versus a group that's consuming more saturated fat. And the group that's consuming less saturated fat is also consuming healthy foods like olive oil, avocados, nuts. Those are rich in the polyunsaturated fats and monounsaturated saturated fats. So they're saying, you know, that justifies switching. But this is important language from a study entitled Meat Intake and Mortality, a prospective study of over 500,000 people. This is a big study. And the study basically said that the study does show that meat intake is associated with higher risk of death from a variety of causes. And as I said, all good studies have, you know, they want to brag, we did a really great study. But on the other hand, there's a tradition in papers to write about the limitations of a study within the study itself, rather than, you know, to anticipate the criticism that other people might give you of the study. And they say in the study, in general, those in the highest quintile of red meat intake tended to consume a slightly lower amount of white meat, but a higher amount of processed meat than those in the lowest quintile. Uh-oh, we got a problem right there, because how do we know that there isn't something bad in processed meat when you're saying meat is bad for you? To my recollection, there are very few studies that look at people over a long time who are consuming lots and lots of grass-fed beef in America, because, you know, not that many people doing it. It's expensive. It's hard to find them. It's hard to study them over a long period of time. So when they study meat, they just look at people and they say, well, do you eat meat? And people say, yeah, you know, I eat meat. And it's not always filet mignon. It could be bologna. And maybe, just maybe, that processed meat, you know, it's chemicalized. It's not organic. It has, you know, various residues in it. And it doesn't have the characteristics that high-quality grass-fed beef might have, which actually is higher in omega-3 fatty acids and lower in saturated fats derived from omega-6. It's you are what you eat eats. And if you corn-feed a hog or a chicken or a cow, then the fats in their marbled fat, they're going to be more representative of pro-inflammatory omega-6, and there will be less omega-3. There's a very high content of omega-3 in wild game. All right, so I'll repeat. In general, those in the highest quintile of red meat intake tended to consume a slightly lower amount of white meat, but a higher amount of processed meat than those in the lowest quintile. Subjects who consume more red meat tend to be married, more likely to be of non-Hispanic white ethnicity, more likely to be a current smoker, have a higher body mass index, and a higher daily intake of energy, total fat, and saturated fat. Whereas they tend to have a lower education level, were less physically active, and consumed less fruits, vegetables, fiber, and vitamin supplements. So wait a minute. So meat intake, the adverse effects of meat intake may not be about the meat. People who eat meat tend to be, you know, the vast unwashed multitude, less educated people, less careful lifestyle. They don't eat as much fruits and vegetables and fiber. They don't take vitamins. They may have smoked. They don't exercise as much. They're heavier. Okay, so that is a problem with many of the studies that do these comparisons. Even so, they had to conclude that red and processed meat intakes were associated with modest increases in total mortality, cancer, and cardiovascular disease mortality, which is not a very robust conclusion, even when these people may not have followed as healthy a lifestyle. So if we go to the original study, there's another problem with the study, which is entitled Association of Specific Dietary Fats with Total and Cause-Specific Mortality. And you can find that study online if you just Google JAMA Internal Medicine Polyunsaturated. That's how I find it. And it's there for you to look at. The conclusion of the study is that different types of dietary fats have divergent associations with total and cause-specific mortality. These findings support current dietary recommendations to replace saturated fat and trans fat with unsaturated fats. That's a problem, the conclusion, because actually the results of the study do not necessarily support current dietary recommendations to replace saturated fat and trans fat with unsaturated fats. And you can see part of the problem is that they lump in trans fats with saturated fats in this study. So part of the benefit, I mean, clearly, if you eliminate, you know, arsenic and apples from your diet, you will be healthier, right? But the problem is the arsenic is poison. The apples are okay. So we've mixed things up here when we say, you know, eliminating saturated fat and trans fat is going to help you out. It doesn't zero in on the effect of eliminating saturated fat. And also it doesn't speak to replacement. It doesn't say, okay, wow, you know, you measure your saturated fat. Okay, I'm consuming 30 grams of saturated fat. I'm going to stop and I'm going to get a bottle of safflower oil and I'm going to consume 30 grams of safflower oil. And I'm, as a result, I will be healthier. Okay. They admit that the health benefits of omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acid intake are still contentious. Concern has been raised over the hypothesized pro-inflammatory and pro-thrombotic effects of omega-6. Well, yeah, I don't think those concerns have been dissipated. Another problem that is listed in the limitations of the study by the authors of the JAMA study, they say our results have several limitations. One is called reverse causation. And that's actually been a problem that has plagued vitamin studies, is that sometimes it shows that people who take vitamins are sicker. But it may be that people who are sick are incentivized to take vitamins. And so taking vitamins might be a marker for health concerns. And that's called reverse causation. It's that the illness caused the people to reach for vitamins. And similarly, people who change their diets, they might have gotten the bad news that they're at risk for a heart attack, or they're at risk for cancer, or that they're overweight. So they got to change things around. They also note that because our study was observational in nature, in other words, they didn't take people and put them into a laboratory, as wouldn't be practical in a study going over many years. And they didn't say, okay, this group, you're going to switch from saturated fat to, you know, to unsaturated fat. It was observational. They looked at people who had made that change and they tried to ascertain that the change was beneficial. But, you know, correlation is not necessarily causality. And they say causality cannot be established, which is a very frank admission. And they also say that because this is based on food questionnaires, that measurement errors are inevitable in estimates of food and nutrient intakes. I think that the biggest message of this study, and actually the result that's most clear-cut, that comes out strong with a real strong statistical robustness, is that getting rid of trans fats, margarines and Crisco and the stuff that they put in baked goods, with largely, you know, refined cookies and breads. These are where you find trans fat, you know, some of the dressings and fast food that are fried. That's really got a very profound impact on cancer, inflammatory diseases, neurodegenerative diseases, respiratory diseases, and of course, heart disease. That, I think, is a finding that we can really lock and load on. But, you know, I got to say, I suspect that there's some politics involved here, because A lot of the people on the diet committees that make up Dietary Guidelines for America are associated with academic institutions like Harvard. And they really are, they're feeling besieged by the public's clamor for changing the dietary guidelines to allow more saturated fats from whole dairy and meat and butter, as is more the dietary trend. But that only works when you do that in the context of an overall healthy diet with lots of fresh fruits and vegetables and fiber and nuts and preferably grass-fed or organic sources of meat that are cleaner and less chemically contaminated than processed meats. So I think it's very hard to separate out the effects. And at best, you can say that this study is inconclusive, and at worst, downright wrong when it comes to stigmatizing dietary saturated fat and encouraging people to consume more polyunsaturated fat. I think that that's a real mistake, and it's premature to do that. But again, what you're going to see is a continuation of government guidelines and major medical association guidelines, the American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, saying don't eat saturated fat, reduce your intake of red meat, have lean meat, reduce high-fat dairy, and consume a lot of vegetable oil, which is wrong, still wrong in my book. So I hope that this has helped reassure you about the lurid headlines that have come our way this week. I apologize for the length of this analysis, but I think it's well worth going through the data. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.